Invite you to rise. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God our Father and through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for consideration today is written in the Gospel according to St. Luke in chapter 4, beginning with the 14th verse. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So far the text. In the name of our Savior Jesus, dearly beloved of God, have you been managing okay in the below average frigid temps we've been experiencing lately? Don't know about you, but I find it a bit challenging to manage in icy cold weather. By that I mean, when I need to hike across the football field of the backyard over here, over to the church, or hop into my car and go out on a visit, can't just step out the door and head to where I want to go like I can during the balmy summer months. I need to find the right coat that will provide sufficient warmth, a hat for head warmth, a nicely insulated pair of gloves. Brings back memories from olden days when I lived in beautiful Wisconsin, when for sometimes weeks on end, you had to go through a checklist of the right winter gear to put on before heading out into the icy Arctic grasp of old man winter. Where am I going with this as a sermon introduction for a text that records the story of Jesus embarking on his Galilean ministry? Well, thinking on this text last week, the thought came to my mind of how the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are, in a way, like a nice fitting set of warm winter clothes. How so? Scriptures fit together perfectly. They're centered magnificently on the heartwarming message of our Savior, and they were sewn together masterfully by the Holy Spirit to convey to poor sinners an ultra-comforting message. For us Christian pilgrims who have to head out every day into the frigid environment of a godless world, which is no friend for those who want to be Christians. So the Lord bless our meditation on this heartwarming text from Luke under the theme, "God marvelously fulfilled a prophecy of Isaiah in the gracious sending of his son and in the good news message that his son proclaimed." So Jesus, he's just been baptized by John out at the Jordan River. He's successfully defended himself against the fierce temptations of the devil in the Judean wilderness. And our text now records how he returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. news about him spread throughout the whole territory. Very favorable impression of him spread through this region as he went about teaching in the synagogues. And then as we read in our text, he came to his hometown city of Nazareth, went into the synagogue there on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. In a few moments, we'll delve deeply into the words Jesus read to the people that day in the synagogue, those words from Isaiah 61. But for now, I'd like to skip ahead to the very last verse, verse 21 of our text, where it says that Jesus, after finishing his sermon, said to the people, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So Jesus was saying, you know that prophecy of Isaiah I just read for you? The one that foretold about the Messiah's coming and his marvelous work? Well, as I was reading it to you, it came true. Isaiah was talking about me. I am your Messiah come from heaven, as the Holy Scriptures you've been hearing every Sunday in the synagogue services have been predicting would come to pass. We have here, dear friends, one of the clearest statements of the Lord Jesus that he ever made during his 3.5-year public ministry, that he is the promised Savior of mankind, whom the scriptures of the prophets had promised in their faithful word, for whom God's people had patiently and eagerly waited for thousands of years. Important takeaway from this for you and me, a very comforting one and very heartwarming. The Bible verses that we read and study from week to week at home, and that we hear proclaimed and taught every Sunday here at church, are 100% reliable in all that they present. You know that already, of course, as Christians, but we can't be reminded about it too often, can we? We can never receive too much bolstering for our faith in the rock-solid promises of God. And what a blessing it is, again, this morning to reflect on a text like this one from Luke, where we're made to see yet again what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 19. We read responsively portions from, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous, and they're more precious than gold, sweeter than honey." In a world that's filled with so much confusion and uncertainty about who is the true God of heaven, and can you even know him? What's the truth about how I'm saved? Can I even know for sure? What's the meaning of life? Why am I here? Where am I going? Thanks be to our gracious God who's given us his holy word and revealed its dependability to us so that we and our children may look to it for all the information that we need to know in order to be justified and saved. Also for strength in days of sickness, for comfort in days of stress, for blessed assurance of that precious inheritance that's laid up for us in heaven, for instruction in how he wants us to live as married people in the marriage relationship, as parents in the training up of his lambs for the Lord, and the heavenly-minded worldview he wants us to keep fostering through the word that we hear and learn and inculcate in our little ones. Since God marvelously fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy by sending us Jesus, his son, making good on that word of promise, so that Jesus could say, as we heard in our text, "This day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears," we know that we may place complete confidence in the Bible as a brightly shining lamp to our feet. And what a heartwarming ultra soul comforting thing it is to know that, filling our souls, as Jesus said, with a peace that the world can't give. Speaking of that peace, speaking about that message which is truly heartwarming, let's now direct our thoughts to that good news message and unpack it a little bit more that Jesus proclaimed to those assembled in the synagogue that day. We're told that when he had opened the book, actually it would have been a scroll, he unrolled it to Isaiah chapter 61, which we read before portions of, and read probably out loud, very loud and clear to everyone who was there, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." So what about that prophecy? Let's unpack it and see why it was and is so heartwarming. When Jesus informed the people that he'd come to heal the brokenhearted, he was saying, my mission as your Savior, which God sent me from heaven to do, is to lift off of you the burden of your guilt before God for your sins. When you think about your transgressions against God's commandments and how angry they make him, and that he threatens rightly and justly to punish you with eternal death in hell for them. And that makes you feel a bit uneasy, maybe a lot uneasy and afraid. But then you offer that prayer, forgive me, Lord, for your mercy's sake. My mission as the Savior is to let you know, a repentant sinner, to provide you with healing for your heart, and to assure you that God's anger and his punishment is something that I am going to take on in your place and stead. So be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Wouldn't you agree that that is a very heartwarming message? And similarly, when he said, I've come to proclaim liberty to the captives, freedom for those who are oppressed, he was saying, the death sentence hanging over your head for your sin guilt, for your transgressions, has been commuted. I've come from heaven to announce God's pardon for you. From the bondage that oppressed you, from sin's fetters that possessed you, from the grief that sore distressed you, you, the captives, now are free. The most precious form of liberty, friends, that a person could ever possess. I was watching on YouTube video last week of January 6th prisoner, probably maybe keeping track of some of that in the news, Washington, D.C. Many have been released, or some have been, and there was one particular one that was emancipated after having been incarcerated in prison for 4 years, suffering, in his own words, a living hell, and he was sobbing tears of joy over finally having been set free from the jail cell. A wonderful thing indeed, but oh, the joy beyond expressing when by faith you grasp this blessing, that to the Lord you come confessing that his love has set you free from slavery to sin and death and Satan. Jesus has freed you to serve him in love and thankfulness all your days here and then forever hereafter in heaven. And also, what heartwarming truth it is Jesus presents when he says, I've come to give recovery of sight to the blind. And he said that he was saying, my Father has sent me down to earth from heaven to proclaim to you and to bestow upon you clear spiritual vision that enables you to see and to recognize him, the true God, and me, Jesus Christ, whom he sent to save you. Your, as we sang before, beautiful Savior. There's that slogan we've all heard, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. How many people, sadly, they've heard the name of Jesus, but they don't regard him as very special or beautiful. But he came down to earth from heaven to us in love in order to bless us by the power of his word with faith vision that enables you to behold him as the one God sent to ransom you to himself by the payment of the blood that his son shed for you on the cross. Which is why you can sing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." Still another heartwarming truth Jesus presents. He told the people then, and you and me today, "I've come to proclaim for you the year of the Lord's favor." In other words, that the God of heaven is looking down on you from his exalted heavenly throne, not with anger over your imperfections, not in disgust over your life littered with the debris of his broken commandments, but as a repentant sinner, in favor, with a smiling face, because of his love for you in his Son, in whom you have anchored your hopes. Such, friends, was the honey-sweet message Jesus presented in the synagogue that day and continues to proclaim to each of us today. May our hearts be warmed by it. And as members of St. Paul Good News Preaching Lutheran Church, that's what that word evangelical means, you know, good news. May we endeavor, in view of his tender mercies, to serve him faithfully with the talents he has bestowed. Whatever part of his body he's made us to be, whether we are an ear or an eye or a hand or a foot or a leg or an arm of his church, which is to say whether we're a church council member or snow shoveler, worship leader or behind-the-scenes bottle washer, Sunday school teacher or carpet cleaner, ladies leader or prayer warrior, to know that Christ Jesus, our loving head, the head of the church, views them, these fruits of faith, as exceedingly precious and beautiful, and promises to use them for the mutual well-being of his body as a whole, his whole church, for the eternal blessing of the souls that he came from heaven to redeem by his blood. Let our prayer be, oh, may our tongues forever bless. May we love you alone and ever in our lives express the image of your own, our beautiful Savior. Amen. The peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Give me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Salvation.